You are tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and IDE Computers. Now your hosts, Sam Dunham, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's time for another episode of Nerd Overload, the show that discusses everything in pop and nerd culture. From Aquaman to Zoolander, I'm Cody Pinnick.
I'm Samantha Cross.
I'm Josh Harrison.
And I'm Sam Dunham.
We got some great stuff on the show today. We're going to talk about all kinds of news and some other topics, but first we're going to start the show.
As we always do,
with Check It Out. And I know you guys are raring to talk about that Dirt Devil or whatever show.
Yeah, we'll promise we'll hold off on that, because I think we actually have a couple other things that we've checked out, right?
Nope.
No?
No.
That's all I've done.
Well, hold off on your Dirt Devils.
Well, then, Josh, I think you'll go. We'll go last then.
That's fine.
You know what? I have something real quick. I watched the show Other Space on Yahoo Screen. It's a show that was created by Paul Feig. You might know him as the guy who directed Bridesmaids and The Heat and the upcoming Ghostbuster thing.
Yeah,
there's our reference.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters, we said it.
If you're a jerk,
show without it.
If you're a jerk, he's the guy that ruined your childhood.
Yeah, well, we're not jerks here.
Yeah,
but he also did the show Freaks and Geeks, and actually found this out the other day. He was the principal on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's weird.
He was Principal Poole.
Really?
He was.
Huh.
Before Martin Mull came in. Yeah, he was like early seasons. Anyway, the show Other Space. It is basically like The Office meets Star Trek. Or like Deep Space Nine or whatever. It's like the Star Trek crew were all jerks. It's really funny. There are a lot of laugh out loud bits to it. Like most shows, it takes the actors, you know, about 4 or 5 episodes before they really kind of get a feel for their characters. Fortunately, the season, like I said, is only 8 episodes long. So
it gets really good and then it's over.
Yeah, but I mean, every episode has at least something that's really funny about it. And it's all free. It's on Yahoo Screen, which is the other problem I have with it, because boy, oh boy, do I hate their streaming service.
Oh.
It is, their app doesn't work.
Yikes.
Yeah, their app doesn't work. Their website is laggy. I have pretty okay internet here. This is the first time in a long time I've had to wait for buffering.
Oh, wow.
For shows multiple times, and had that thing where it like starts, like the audio starts and then the video speeds up real quick to catch up.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's really bad. I'm hoping it comes out on DVD pretty soon. They set it up, the series, for like a for there to be a second season. I hope there's a second season. It's kind of funny about the show. It's actually been in production hell through NBC since like 2008, I think.
That is a long time.
Well, it was the boom of the Office style, you know, shows and like Parks and Rec and stuff like that. So you can see the pitch being like The Office in space. You know, really funny. Some of the actors, let's see, his name's Karen Sony and Milan Vientrub. They're both in AT&T and cell phone commercials. The commercial with the two guys that are like fixing everyone's Wi-Fi and everything. He's the little hyperactive one. He's the captain of the ship. And the other one's from the AT&T commercials or whatever. They're really funny. I can really see, you know, in a couple of years down the line, this is going to be like a real cult kind of show. That's really all I have to say about it. It's free. Go online and watch it if you can get past their, you know.
Their horrible app.
Well, there is an Xbox app. I haven't used it yet.
Well, if it works anything like the iPhone app, don't expect much.
I don't even like the name Yahoo Screen. It makes me think of the Flying Toaster screensaver from the 90s for some reason.
Because it's Yahoo, and no one has done anything with Yahoo in a long time.
I've been playing video games, as usual.
Really?
But a couple new ones. Actually, not that new, but it's new to me. Hyrule Warriors. I finally got a hold of a copy of that, kind of, because the adventure mode doesn't work.
Oh, really?
Gamefly sent me a disc. It doesn't look scratched, but for some reason, when you try to play adventure mode in... which is a side mode. It's not the main mode.
Right,
it just immediately crashes.
Huh.
But I've played the story mode, and it's actually really good. It's a lot better than what I was expecting, because I'm not a huge Dynasty Warriors person, but the Zelda gameplay mashes up with it real well, and it's kind of like a Zelda beat-em-up where every Zelda thing is taken to the very extreme.
Cool. See, I've played a demo of it, and I kind of like the idea of being able to play in the Zelda universe as someone other than Link.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I kind of like that a lot.
I really wanted Linkle to be a thing.
Yeah, that would have been cool. But it's everything kicked up to 11, because, like, when you get the bombs, when you use the bomb, it doesn't just place the bomb. The character chucks out, like, 5 bombs real
fast.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like, it's good. And the other game I've been playing is Xenoblade Chronicles.
Is that it? Yeah.
I think it's Xenoblade Chronicles. Okay. Is that what it's called?
It is.
Okay, there's so many Xeno games. There's Xenogears, Xenosaga, and Xenoblade.
Yeah.
Chronicles 3D.
This is the one where that guy from Smash Brothers that no one knows about is from, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is really good. It's a really big, wide open world that you don't see a lot with newer JRPGs. It's a JRPG that feels like a natural evolution to like a next gen style JRPG, because it's an open world.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last couple big RPGs, like Final Fantasy 13, have kind of turned into like these weird movie hallway,
yeah, right,
like really linear experiences. But this is the first one that's come out in a long time that feels like the natural progression of the old 2D games.
Cool. Now, is it a turn based or is it
it's action, like not turn based.
Okay.
But the sword that Shulk has, the Monado, has the ability to see the future. So occasionally when somebody's going to hit you with a big nasty attack, you'll get a vision of it happening so you can adjust your tactics accordingly. So it's a little bit like it's turn-based while also not being turn-based.
Oh, that's interesting. I actually kind of like that mechanic a lot. That sounds cool.
Yeah, they use the future sight a lot. Like if you get an item for a quest before you know about the quest,
mm-hmm.
you'll get a little flash of the future that kind of hints at where you get this quest at.
Yeah.
It's really neat. It does a lot of cool stuff that you'd think somebody would have already did. But I would recommend it if you got a new 3DS. You pretty much owe it to yourself to get it, because it's the only game that only runs on it.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Last night, we subjected ourselves to The Babadook, finally, because it's on Netflix now. Ooh, boy.
Yeah, it is a terrifying movie.
Like, we knew kind of what we were getting into, but wow. Pretty intense.
Okay, so what's like the main, like,
I don't want to talk too much about it because
no, I understand, I understand, yeah. But like, you know, what's the elevator pitch? What's like,
okay, well, a woman's husband dies while on the way to deliver her baby, and she basically can't deal with that, and she has resentment towards the kid.
Okay.
Yeah, and the kid has issues.
Yeah. But it all manifests itself as the Babadook, which is this monster.
Okay. Well, very cool. That sounds rad.
On a scale of 1 to uncomfortable, how was this movie?
Super uncomfortable.
It goes to 11.
It deals with that kind of stuff in a very mature way. Like,
yeah.
It's interesting.
It's not just a monster movie. Like, it's a really good allegory for dealing with grief or mental illness.
Depression, anxiety.
Wow.
Because you watch the mom just lose it over time. And, like, there's a chance that maybe the Babadook isn't even a monster. Like, you're kind of wondering, was it a supernatural thing? Was it in her head? I don't know, it was really good, but also really grueling to watch.
Well, cool, yeah. I don't usually go in for, like, horror movies and stuff, but that sounds really interesting. I might have to get that. Is that on, like, Netflix or something?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a legit horror movie, not, like, a monster slashy.
Yeah,
it's not fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So, basically, the only thing I checked out, because it's the only thing I really had time for, was Daredevil.
Oh, Daredevil.
And, man, was it so worth it.
Oh, man. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about in general, and then actually I think Cody and Sam are going to walk out because Josh and I are the only ones here that went through all of it, and we're going to get into some spoilers, and we don't want to ruin it for them.
Yeah, we've only seen 2 episodes.
Yeah.
So, of the anyway, 13.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's on Netflix, 13 episodes. It's definitely tied into the Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they make veiled references.
Oh, not just veiled.
Well,
like,
they're pretty
overt.
Yeah, pretty blatant to
and
it.
Like, and some of them.
But those references end after, like, the first 2 episodes.
Uh-huh.
Like, the first one they mention in the comics, Hell's Kitchen is
part of New York. It's a borough in New York.
It's in New York, real life, too. But And the comics, Hell's Kitchen is terrible. It's an awful place. In real life, they've cleaned it up a lot. It's very nice. So the way they went around explaining why Hell's Kitchen looks like a crap hole is that New York has been slowly trying to rebuild ever since the attack on New York and Avengers.
Which they call the incident.
They just, for whatever reason, they just haven't rebuilt. They just kind of let Hell's Kitchen go to pot because, you know, too much money spent in other places. So that's why Hell's Kitchen is like a rundown, you know.
It's like Gotham.
Yeah, look, it's very Gotham-ish, yeah. Why don't you tell the people in general, who's Daredevil, what is the show?
Well, Daredevil is a man named Matt Murdock. Mm-hmm. He is a blind attorney. He's a...
legal man.
Yeah, he's a public defender?
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
public defender. He was blinded as a kid in a chemical accident that has given him heightened powers of, you know, hearing, smelling. He can kind of, sort of see things.
Kind of.
He can sort smell crime.
Yep. He can taste stuff. There's actually a scene in one of the later episodes where he, like, tastes
crime.
Super crazy, like, taste powers and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's nuts.
It's really cool. But the show's great.
The one thing I really like about it is, in comparison to like the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie that came out a few years ago, mm-hmm. is they don't spend a lot of special effects on his powers.
Not a lot.
It's mostly just like visual cues
where
he's doing something, or like an audio cue.
Yeah, a lot of sound, like echoey sounds.
Yeah, sounds picking up. You only see like his vision like once.
I think just exactly one time they show for just half a second. A lot of the effects are physical. It's a lot of, you know, stuntmen doing flips and doing...
Once in a while, they kind of do, like, a blur effect on his flipping.
Every once in a while.
But it's not, like, it's not an overabundance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think really helped the quote-unquote realism of the show.
It feels really real.
Yeah. With Daredevil, with Matt Murdock, you also have his partner...
Foggy Nelson.
Foggy Nelson, played by Ellen... or. Not Harlan Ellison. That's not his name.
No, it's not Harlan. That's Harlan Ellison. Famous sci-fi author. Speculative fiction author.
But his name's something like that. Let me look it up real quick.
He wrote, "I have no mouth and I must scream for help. Help me, Daredevil."
Yeah. He looked up and said, "Help me." And I said,
"Eldon Henson."
No. There
Eldon
we go.
Henson.
Eldon Henson. He was the Bash brother in the Mighty Ducks movies.
Oh, I thought he looked familiar.
Yeah, yeah. He was the Bash brother that was in all of them.
Okay.
He looks like a kid from Salute Your Shorts.
he kind of does.
Like, grew up. Yeah,
yeah, he kind of does.
And it's also got the girl, I don't know if you guys ever watched True Blood.
The actress's name is Deborah Ann Woll.
Yes, there we go. But she is also in it as a blonde instead of a redhead, which is a shame. But
personally,
this is my personal. But I don't know. Sometimes the acting in the show is kind of iffy, but other times it's actually
her acting is probably the most iffy of the bunch. Not to say that it's bad.
No, in comparison,
her acting is the closest I would compare to Arrow acting.
Yes,
where everyone else is acting like towards CW like a long movie. She's acting more towards like the serialized television series.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah,
and Rosario Dawson is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I know, right?
Yeah, oh, man, she is really awesome. In
she
this.
Is always awesome. Though.
Yeah, and to round it out, Vincent D'Onofrio as
the kingpin
of
Wilson
crime.
Fisk.
Oh man, and unfortunately, you guys haven't gotten to his.
Yeah, is this where we're out?
This might be where you're out. So we'll come and get you when we get done talking.
All right.
Okay.
Let's get into the fun.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. If you don't want this show spoiled, tune off now. Wait to the break. You know, because I think we're gonna end up pushing this to the break. I think.
Oh man. Oh, it's so good.
Okay. First off, holy crap! Vincent D'Onofrio is terrifying as the Kingpin.
He is. I mean, at first I was a little leery of the way he delivers, like his weird raspy kind of voicey thing he does.
Well, he's like, it's weird. It's like he's almost like he's traumatized.
Yeah.
Like he's like living with PTSD from his childhood, and it's like
he's never really gotten
he's not really gotten past it. Yeah.
No.
But he looks great as Kingpin.
He looks really good as Kingpin.
It's surprisingly how well he looks with a bald head.
Yeah.
And he just looks like a big dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's tall anyway. But...
Well, yeah. But there are times I feel really sorry for him.
I don't want to say they made him a sympathetic character because...
He's not.
He's really not because, you know, he decapitates a guy...
With a car door.
Oh,
what? It was so gross. That's another thing about this show. Yes, it's part of the Disney Marvel MCU, but...
They're really pushing the Netflix...
Oh, yeah, that whole no rating thing.
Uh-huh, they're pushing it to the
extreme. There is some violent, violent fight scenes in the... And like the one guy who assaults the dude in the bowling alley?
Yeah, he would rather kill himself than have the Fisk find out that he...
That he ratted on him.
Ratted on him. So he purposely... Shoves his head through a metal spike.
A fence post. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was insane.
That was gross. I was more talking about him breaking that guy's arm in the bowling alley.
You see,
like, the bone sticking out and stuff.
Yeah, pretty rough stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah, but it really pays off.
It really does.
I mean, you'll get so much of this PG-13 superhero stuff, which is fine.
Yeah.
But then you get this, and it's like, to better sum up Daredevil in a way, he's... Kind of like if Spider-Man and the Punisher were like one person.
And he got beat up a lot.
Oh, that's another thing I love. He gets his butt kicked about as much as the bad guys get their butts kicked.
Well, that's the character, though. I mean, that's the point of the character. He gets beat on a lot because he is not a total super-powered superhero.
You know?
He gets beat up a lot.
There's like twice in the series that he almost dies.
Yeah.
Oh my God! When the hand ninja showed up,
that's something I was going to talk to you about. Yeah, that was
lost my mind. I was like, I figured like, okay, the Japanese mob guys. You know, then he talked about how like
I knew that was going to be the hand as soon as they.
Oh yeah, I was like, that has to be the hand. I really hope we see some hand, and then we see one, and I'm like, yes. Yeah.
Oh, you know, Fisk's a whole conglomerate of like criminals, with the exception of the Russians. All have ties to have deeper Marvel Universe ties. All of them do.
Oh yeah,
because the Japanese businessman was the hand ninjas, which I have a feeling are going to be the main villains of the Defenders when they put all of the Netflix characters in one show.
Oh yeah, four episodes.
I think it's going to end up being that. Leland Owsley, the financial guy.
Yeah,
that's the name of the Daredevil's first arch nemesis, the Owl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you don't see the guy become the Owl in this because he's like 75 years old.
And he's also
at one point he mentions his son Lee, who is also a corrupt money manager.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling
we might
see him pop up as the Owl. The Owl was basically a mob boss with a flight suit. He had a business suit that had wings on it.
Yeah,
that he could fly around, and he had his hair and his beard were cut to look like he looked like an owl.
Yeah. Oh man, the Fisk like body armor like suit thing was kind of
cool.
That
was cool. The other person I want to talk about is Madame Wu.
Gao. Yeah.
Madame Gao. She is tied into Iron Fist.
You know, I kind of figured because she makes the reference where she's going to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
And
they mentioned China, she goes significantly further.
Yeah.
She's talking about Shambhala, which is where the deadly arts of Kung Fu come from.
Yes.
Which is both, in the Marvel Universe, Shambhala is equal parts a country outside of China and also a downed spaceship where aliens live and have integrated themselves into society with mystical force powers. Because
Fing Foom's tied to that too, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
That's what I thought.
Yep, but also the stamp that they keep stamping on the heroin and stuff.
Yeah, the question mark.
No.
Oh.
It's a snake.
Oh, okay.
They call it the Steel Serpent. The Steel Serpent is like the Bizarro version of Iron Fist.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So you're going to see her pop back up in the Iron Fist series.
If we ever get one.
Oh, we will. They ordered Daredevil, a.k.a. Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist. Those core series are all going to have 13 episodes, and then they're doing a 4-episode Defenders.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Which is going to have those four characters in it.
All right.
There's one thing I want to talk about that isn't quite sitting with me too well. The guy who designed Daredevil's costume,
and Fist body armor.
They they play him off as autistic. It's definitely autism he has, because he's like super intelligent when it comes to building the body armor, but almost childlike the rest of the time.
Yes.
And Daredevil beats the tar out of him for almost 10 minutes. But in his defense, he didn't know that he was special needs. And as soon as he kind of figured out, he
backed off.
He changed his tactic.
Yeah, he even said that he was sorry.
He said he was sorry. But part of me is still a little about that. But, you know, he's also a character from the comics.
Okay.
Yeah, his Melvin Potter was a villain named the Gladiator. He built costumes for heroes and villains alike. And decided that he wanted to start taking on superheroes. So he built a suit of body armor. And you know the scene where he starts throwing, like, buzzsaws?
Yeah.
The Gladiator armor has two giant buzzsaws on the wrists
okay.
that he would slice.
I noticed they would center a lot on buzzsaws. I figured it was a reference I wasn't getting.
Yeah, that was the reference. Really, really good. Charlie Cox does an amazing job.
He really does. And I'm noticing with actors who are not as well known, mm-hmm. they tend to really shine in these superhero roles.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying it.
And it's been like that for a while. I mean, look at Michael Fassbender and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
I mean, he had done stuff before, but really Magneto was really kind of the thing.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to Daredevil. It's excellent. 13 episodes. I watched them over the course of 2 days.
Yeah, I would have finished them over the weekend, but I was indisposed.
Yeah, I just burned straight through them. And, I don't even know what else to say.
This is good. And you don't see the iconic costume until the last episode.
Until the very end. And I'm glad they did that.
I liked it. I liked the way it looks.
Yeah. Me too.
I
like they used the Frank Miller art for the newspaper clipping at the very end.
I know, right? That was cool.
Last touch.
Foggy's so great. Foggy's probably one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, he actually came off really, really likable. And not just like the goofy comedy relief sidekick, which he was.
Yeah.
In moments, he really was. But he came off as very competent.
Oh, yeah. Especially after he found out that Matt was... Daredevil. The mask. The man in black.
The devil of Hell's Kitchen. That's what they kept calling for the series. I like how there were... they kind of shied away from it in the back half of the series, but a couple of the episodes were really kind of like almost like Law and Order, but where, you know, Sam Watterson would go out and beat the tar out of people afterwards, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Kind of like that?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, because in the one episode where he defends the guy who kills that guy in the bowling alley...
Right.
You know, he gets the guy off, but then he turns around and goes beats the crap out of him as Daredevil.
Right.
And telling him he needs to get out of the city, but he wanted information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was another montage I liked, where he's beating all those various thugs through the city.
Yeah.
And it's just like the camera panning to different locations.
Yeah.
That was a really cool shot. I really liked that.
Yeah. But speaking of cool shots.
Yes. The fight scene in the episode 2 with the Russian mob in that hallway, that's all one cut.
It's all one cut. It's about 5 minutes long. It's just amazing. He's just Daredevil walking down a hallway in an apartment building trying to rescue a kid, a kidnapped child. And he's zipping in and out of different rooms where these mafia guys are. And it's really clever how he'd go into a room and come back out, and it's clearly the stunt double.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't notice unless you're looking for it.
Yeah.
They do a really good job kind of meshing the two together. But yeah, it's all one single shot for like 5 minutes. Yeah, one take. It's amazing.
Like, there's like three doors. Mm-hmm. One door has the mob guys playing poker. The one door has a couple other mob guys like in watching TV and sitting around. And then the other room is the kid where the kid's being held.
Yeah.
And he just kind of sneaks into the one room. You hear a fight start. Like, he shuts the door. You hear a fight start. And then the other guys in the poker room hear it, and they come across the alley or the hallway. Oh, and it's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Really, really good. Really good.
Oh, God.
How sad were you about Ben Urich? How surprised were you?
Oh, I wasn't surprised, per se, but I was very sad.
It actually surprised me because up until Ben Urich is a newspaper reporter that was kind of going a different route trying to, you know, uncover the
Fisk for Fisk what he stuff. Is.
And here's a big, huge spoiler. He gets strangled to death by the Kingpin.
Himself.
like sitting in his apartment.
In episode 10. This is a character that was in the show from episode 3 on. And he was like a main character of the show. And he just gets flat out murdered.
Oh, yeah.
Just straight up murdered.
Oh, yeah. He gets fired from his newspaper job. Mm-hmm. And you think that his boss is the guy working for the Kingpin.
I love that whole scene, too, where he's sitting there and they're just talking back and forth. And, you know, Fisk goes, things are different in my time, in our time. People don't pay attention anymore. They're too preoccupied with
celebrity weddings and things like that.
And videos of cats on the internet and all this stuff. And it's actually kind of a funny scene.
It is.
And you think that Kingpin's going to be like, okay, I respect you. I'm going to leave you alone. Because they go and they find his mother. They found the Kingpin's mother and got some information from her. And he goes, you know, I would let you go, but you went to my mother. My mother. And
he just rages.
And well, Yurik says, you know, I've been threatened before. I've been in this a long time. And Kingpin just goes, because you went to my mother, I'm not going to threaten you. I'm going to kill you. Stands up and just strangles him right then and there. Done.
Yeah, like picks him up off the ground.
Terrifying. It's terrifying.
It really is. Oh, man. Like, his rage moments.
He doesn't have many.
He doesn't have. But when he does, and he just unleashed the beast, it's ridiculous.
Crazy. Just absolute craziness.
I mean, the car door decapitation, which I'm thinking is less decapitation and more I'm just squishing your head bits.
Yeah.
And then they showed it. It was gross. It was really, really gross. And there's sound effects, and it's nasty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. For the first part of the next episode, you know, that guy's headless body was on the table.
Yeah, and his brother was, like, cleaning him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
But, yeah, I mean, I can't recommend it highly enough. I am really now looking forward to AKA Jessica Jones.
Oh, I know, right? Have you seen they released an image of
one
David
image
Tennant?
Of David Tennant.
Wearing a purple coat.
Purple coat, purple pants. Yeah, he is.
The Purple Man.
The Purple Man, yeah. So that's going to be really, really good.
Which also makes me really nervous. Because that means it could be really, really dark and messed up.
Oh, it's going to get dark and messed up. It's going to get real bad. What did you think of the flashbacks with Madeline Jack Murdoch?
Those were great. I really, really liked those. I thought those were good.
I really do, too.
I love Stick.
Is it just me, or did it almost seem like they found a stand-in for David Carradine?
Yes.
It's like...
Well, they even make the reference to David Carradine.
Yeah. Stick looks an awful lot like David Carradine. He acts an awful lot like David Carradine. I have a feeling that if, you know...
He had still been alive.
If he was still around, he probably would have been stunt casted for the role.
Yeah.
And I think that's also going to tie in. You're going to see that character pop back up later on.
Who was the guy that Stick was talking to that had the scars all over his
back? No clue.
No idea?
No clue. If it were DC Comics, I would have said Richard Dragon as Kung Fu Master.
Yeah.
Unless they got the rights to Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu, I have no idea. Which they won't, because Marvel doesn't have the rights to Fu Manchu. And that's why you don't really see anything with Shang-Chi anymore. Because back when Marvel had the rights to the Fu Manchu comics, Shang-Chi started off as the son of Fu Manchu, who decided to take down his father's criminal empire.
Okay.
So you can't, nowadays, you don't have... Marvel doesn't have the rights to it anymore. So whenever they show Shang-Chi, they can't mention anything about his past. They can't do anything. And I don't know how that's going to work out with broadcast rights.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I felt like there was something else I wanted to talk
about. Oh, there's a million things that I'm missing. I know there is. This is one of the first series that I'm really thinking about going back and watching again.
Oh, man. All those blind gags.
Yeah.
Those were pretty good.
Those were really good.
I mean, they don't, like, sit there and go, oh, he's blind. I mean, they do, but they don't.
I like the scene where they're either first or second episode, and, you know, Matt Murdock asks the client a question.
And she just nods.
And he just kind of sits there and doesn't say anything. He just sits there looking straight ahead.
And Foggy's like, she nodded.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of that. It's a lot of that stuff. It's really good.
Like Foggy all the time, like with cues. Oh, he shrugged or something like that. Yeah.
I kind of like their flashback to their college days in that one episode.
Oh, that was great!
Yeah.
The Nelson versus Murdoch was the episode.
They reference Elektra in that episode.
Do they?
Yeah, because they're talking about, you know, how they took different language courses to impress girls. And Foggy asks Murdoch about, you know, he took Spanish.
Yeah.
What about that Greek girl that you were talking about. Oh. And he goes, yeah, it didn't work out. She just kind of took off.
Okay. Okay.
And yeah, so there it was Elektra, who is a standard in Daredevil comics and was played by Jennifer Gardner in her own spinoff movie.
Yes.
Which is how Marvel has the rights to the Hand, I found out.
Really?
Because the Hand were the villains in the Elektra movie, and when they bought the rights to Daredevil back, Elektra and everything that was attached to that film also went with it. That meant the Hand Ninjas. That's why they couldn't call them the Hand Ninjas in the Wolverine movie that came out about a year ago.
I didn't think they were the Hand.
In the comics, they were.
Were they?
Yes, they were.
So the Silver Samurai is one of the head of the Hand.
The Yoshida clan was one of the top member was one of the top ruling sections of the Hand Ninjas in the comics.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, I'm an idiot. I did know Silver Samurai was part of the Hand. Yeah.
Anyway, ninjas.
Ninjas.
Look forward to more ninjas.
Red ninjas.
Yeah, very, very cool. Anyways, I think we're going to go ahead and take a break and get Sam and Cody back in here. And when we come back, we'll do some news.
All right.
Nerd Overload would like to thank IDE Computers for their support. With over 19 years of service, IDE is located on Delaware Avenue, Marion, 387-3376.
Nerd Overload is brought to you in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and more. Replays is a place for all your gaming needs, from retro up through current-gen systems and accessories. They even have a free customer rewards program. Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, across from the Marion Plaza. 751-4072 or online at facebook.com/replaysmarion.
Welcome back. That was The Devil Went Down to Georgia by the Charlie Daniels Band.
There's multiple Daniels.
Yeah. And it just seemed fitting, I think. Anyway, I think we're just going to go ahead and move into some news. What do you want to start with?
Mewtwo hit Smash Brothers for Club Nintendo people.
Yeah.
That registered their two copies of Wii U Smash and 3DS Smash.
And for some Wii users, Wii U players.
Wii users.
Mewtwo is hitting them a little harder than it should.
Yeah, if you do a 10-man Smash?
Yeah, if you do a 10-man Smash, if you had previously done it with all the characters to get, like, the trophy or whatever, and then you go into with Mewtwo now that you've downloaded it, it will corrupt your save file. Because the game thinks it's a modded character and that you're cheating.
Which is something you think they would have caught in Q&A, but...
And here's the thing. It's not a problem in the 3DS version. Huh. It's just the Wii version.
Huh. We see you liked Mewtwo. How about now?
Have you used him yet? Did you download him?
No, you can't. He's not open for non.
Oh, that's right. You didn't get the Wii register.
I don't have the. Yeah, I don't have a Wii.
Yeah, yet, I didn't register.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to wait like a week and a half, like the rest of the plebs.
Yeah, I don't really care about Mewtwo.
I don't really either, but I like Smash Brothers, and I'm eventually going. I'd love to get like all the characters and everything because
just another Pokemon character I wouldn't use.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't use the Pokemon characters in Smash Brothers anyway, so
I'd probably buy Lucas just because I like Earthbound and want to support that, but I don't give a crap about Mewtwo.
Speaking of characters that might
that I give a crap about,
one
of the some data miner guy I guess was going through the files with the latest patch for Smash Brothers and found some music for the theme of Ryu from Street Fighter.
Yep, from the Super Mario Brother version, from Street Fighter 2. That was the version of it.
Huh.
Yeah.
You mean from, like, the Super Nintendo?
Super Nintendo version, yeah.
Huh.
And that would fit with the other, with Mega Man uses his specific music from a game that it's not, like, a remix or something.
Yeah.
So does this mean that Ryu is coming to Smash Brothers? I hope so. I think it's cool.
I hope not. I think it's real cheap. Because he's already a fighting game character, and
that's why it makes sense.
I don't know. I mean, I think I always thought part of the fun of Smash Brothers was they were taking characters that weren't native to fighting games and making them fit into. Although I do know that
let them fight.
Sonic has his own had a fighting game on like the
it was arcade. Saturn maybe.
Yeah.
Oh
and,
God.
Like there have been other fighting games, but they're not like the main. The main thrust of the character, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I can understand why they want to put him in there. I mean, and I'll get it if he does become available, because I mean, Ryu, as much as Mega Man, Ryu is like the mascot of Capcom.
Yeah.
Even more so now.
I don't know. I've always, now that Capcom won't touch Mega Man for some reason.
Yeah.
But I've always saw Smash Brothers as a celebration of video games and video game characters that just happens to be a fighting game.
Yeah, that's true. I still think it's a little cheap. But I mean, I'm not going to be mad about it. I'm not going to go on the internet and rant about it or anything like that.
Guile for Mario Kart.
I think it's better than some old rehash of a character that was in another game that got cut.
That's very true. Yeah, that's very true. And I mean, I would take interesting new characters over like Dark Pit, or Dr. Mario, which could have just been a costume change.
Yeah.
Oh wait, Dr. Mario is a separate character.
Mario is a separate character, and the only difference is, well, his down B is different, and his fireball is a pill.
It bounces. It moves different.
But I mean, they could have.
I don't know. I like Dr. Mario.
I like the character too, but I mean, I don't know if he needed a completely separate slot for it. You know. Yeah.
They also in there was stuff for Roy.
Oh yeah, there was stuff for Roy.
Fire Emblem Roy, which is another one of those characters that it was in the old game and now it's back. Who cares?
Yeah.
Then bring Solid Snake back.
The fifth Fire Emblem character too.
Yeah, there's a lot of Fire Emblem representation.
Yeah, I saw a webcomic from Awkward Zombie where they're making the joke that essentially there are more and more anime inspired characters weaseling their way into Smash Brothers, and slowly some of the more cartoony characters are going to start disappearing. I think the joke was they over animeized Peach by the end of it. Like they gave her like the crazy like eyes and like the super, you know.
They're just gearing up for Goku.
now you want to talk about a character that shouldn't be in Smash Brothers.
I don't.
So funny. Though.
I don't care anymore. I just, why not? You know.
Could you imagine if Kirby sucked him in and got Super Saiyan hair?
That would be
pretty rad. Yeah. I honestly kind of have Smash Brothers fatigue.
Really?
Yeah.
I go in waves. I can't sit and play it like I used to, like when it first came out. But I mean, I'll hop on and I'll. Especially with the new 3DS, it loads super quick, so I can just hop on, play a couple games, and then turn it off. So
I don't have it, so I'm not fatigued.
It just bothers me, people getting super excited about just some rehash of a character from an old game. It's like,
yeah.
Don't waste your enthusiasm. Make Nintendo think they can get away with the bare minimum. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
I'm just being jaded and grumpy, though.
You're being
only just a little.
A game grump?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, before we move on to any other new stuff, there's a topic I wanted to bring up. My dad actually suggested this one, kind of moving from games real quick. There is a voice actor named Stan Freberg who passed away recently, and just kind of want to talk about him real quick. He was a radio guy. He did cartoon voices. He was the voice of Pete Puma in the old Looney Tunes animated cartoons. And stuff.
It sounds like you said Looney Tunes anime there.
I almost did. But you know, he did a bunch of stuff. He's actually credited with creating the Funny Television commercial. Really interesting guy. He had a biography that came out a few years ago. Really cool. Everyone should go on YouTube, find some of his old commercials. He did a radio spoof called the old Dragnet. Radio show called St. George and the Dragnet, and it's about St. George going to fight a dragon, but he's like Jack Webb.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Just the facts, ma'am. Yeah. But, everyone should go and check out some of his stuff, because without this guy, we would just be getting commercials that are just like, you know, this is the product that we're selling, and this is exactly what it does, compared to Brand X, you know. Not the goofy, you know,
stuff. We wouldn't have all those hilarious insurance commercials.
You know what? Is it worse than the alternative?
I don't know.
Would you rather just stand up there and go, this is the insurance, and this is what you get covered by?
I really like Flo, and I really love J.K. Simmons and those farmers commercials.
Oh, yes. Those are really good. Yeah, those are really
J.K.
good.
J.K. Simmons for everything.
Yep.
I mean, he did do a lot of voices of a lot of things that I watched a lot of when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be surprised what he's done that you wouldn't have realized.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that happens a lot,
mm-hmm.
honestly. Like, I didn't realize that Billy West was the voice of Doug.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wrap your brain around that
one.
Yeah.
Voice actors don't get the credit they deserve.
They really don't.
They really don't.
I mean, their bodies of work are, like, numerous, mm-hmm. and it's exhausting to look through at yeah. some of it.
And they work hard. You have, like, when they have celebrities come in to do a voice on some dumb DreamWorks movie, you're like, it's easy. I just came in. You didn't have to get dressed up. It's like, well, it was easy for you because you're not good at it.
Because they're playing themselves.
Yeah.
You have other voice actors that are coming in and they're doing...
Especially when you're, like, a voice actor who does, like, multiple voices on one show.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that documentary? I know that voice.
John DiMaggio. Yeah.
It's really good.
Really good one. Yep. I also think it's kind of interesting about this Freebird guy that he's really, you know, because he worked with Looney Tunes and he did radio stuff, he's, like, one of the last people that were... big stars in the time before television, and like, you know, this guy worked with Mel Blanc and Chuck Jones and stuff like that, and none of them are around anymore.
Wow.
Just kind of think about it. He's like one of the last of that era of animation. You know,
it really was the end of an era,
voice wise and otherwise. Yeah, it really kind of was to think about.
I grew up on classic Looney Tunes.
Oh,
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thinking back on it now as an adult, and I can understand things. The fact that, you know, they got away with that stuff. I mean, I understand it's a different time, different era, and
sure.
things like that. But yet people throw stinks about some of the things that happen in shows now.
Mm-hmm.
But you go back to, like, you know, Bugs Bunny smoking and drinking.
Shooting guns.
And shooting, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't shoot a gun in a cartoon that's not going to shoot a laser out anymore.
I know. It is the end of an era, because when you think about it, nowadays, Looney Tunes is not the icon that it used to be.
Yeah, now it's just something they put on a t-shirt.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the...
You put Taz in some baggy pants
yeah.
with a backwards ball cap
it
a day.
No. Back in the 90s, my dad had a shirt with, like, Looney Tunes people, like, Bugs, Taz, and someone else, Daffy. And
probably Tweety Bird.
But they were like dressed like crisscross with like the backward jeans.
I had that shirt when I was a kid.
Oh man.
I had a Bart Simpson shirt that said "Eat my shorts, man."
Wow.
Yeah. You want to talk about that?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, all you really see, like, far as Looney Tunes are just weird shirts that no one gets that you find in the random bin at Walmart.
Yeah.
They had that show.
Yeah, it wasn't bad either.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't great.
Oh, the new Looney Tunes show?
And actually, Freeberg showed up on that show.
Huh.
As there was a short that involved Wile E. Coyote's dad. They brought him in for just that. Something like that.
I didn't mind that show. I mean, it was different. It was Looney Tunes the sitcom, which, you know.
It works just about as well as anything else.
Yeah.
They try to shoehorn Looney Tunes into it.
Yeah, it's better than Lunatics Unleashed.
Oh, man.
so bad.
Oh, someday I'm going to get my time to rant about that nonstop, because that is the worst, one of the worst shows. Like the, you know, I enjoy bad stuff. That is unenjoyably bad. It is just awful. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about.
It's probably better than that Looney Tunes Back in Action movie with Jenna Elfman
and Brendan Fraser.
I never did see that.
It's not good.
It's, no.
It has a lot of Universal Monsters references in it that are
cool.
It
does. And it has Steve Martin playing a nerd.
Yeah.
Like a nerdy bad guy.
Makes sense.
I mean, it has Robbie the robot. And
there's
like
a deleted scene where they had Daleks from Doctor Who run around screaming, exterminate.
And the mutant from This Island Earth, I think, is in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
So maybe it's worth it to watch that scene on YouTube, but the rest of the movie is garbage. It has a really bad Walmart product placement in it, too.
Oh, God.
I feel like the last good Looney Tunes movie was Space Jam.
Space Jam isn't even that good, really.
Are you kidding me? Space Jam is the bomb, yo.
Dude, I was going to work the other night, and when on the radio, I Believe I Can Fly came on.
Oh, man.
In the third grade, my music teacher made us all sing that for a musical.
Fantastic.
Which I was all about, because Space Jam was my jam when I was in the third grade.
Oh, man.
It'd be better if you sang like the Space Jam theme, that Welcome to the Slam.
Welcome to the Space Jam.
Oh, no. All right, well, anyways, Stan Freberg will be missed. It was really kind of an end of an era now that we're kind of thinking about
really
it.
Really went on a tangent there.
We kind of did, but, you know, that's okay.
The Wonder Woman movies has shuffled directors around.
Oh, yeah, it has, hasn't it? Yeah.
Who was it before?
Michelle McLaughlin.
Yeah, and now it's Patty Jenkins.
Yeah.
Which makes you, what's going on there? Like, why do they have to shuffle directors around?
I heard it was for a creative difference, is what I read.
Probably because Warner Brothers wants to make a garbage movie, and she wanted to make a good movie.
Yeah. What probably happened was Zack Snyder had a specific vision for what he wanted Wonder Woman to be, and McLaughlin
terrible
has a soul and went, no, that's not right.
Yeah, that's not Wonder
So they found
Woman.
Someone that'll go, okay, we'll do it your way. Yeah, but anyways, this Patty Jenkins, I mean, she's done quite a bit of work. I'm looking at her resume here, and she's done... she did the movie Monster with Charlize Theron, which was really good.
Yeah, that won some Academy Award, didn't it? Or at least was nominated.
It won at least a couple awards, and you know, not something you want for some light watching.
Yeah,
no, definitely not. But she also directed some episodes of the AMC show The Killing, which I haven't watched, but I've heard is pretty good. But she's also done quite a few episodes of Entourage.
Me.
Which is like the exact opposite of what you want for a Wonder Woman movie.
No.
If you ask me. The exact opposite. Yeah.
Wonder Woman, the Amazon of selfies.
Yeah. But I mean, you know what? Again, we can't really knock it until we see it.
Who knows?
It might turn out really good.
It probably won't.
Well, I know. But
by the way, did you see that like 20-second teaser got leaked or whatever?
I refused. I don't want to see it until I see the actual trailer. Yeah. Because this actually brings us to a topic that you wanted to talk about.
Yes. I've said this for a while now, and it's come to a boil for me. Like, I remember when I was younger, when you got like one movie trailer. It was the one movie trailer you saw. You may have saw it on TV, you may have saw it before a movie, or on a VHS.
Yeah.
You may have fast-forwarded through it on the VHS.
Exactly. But it kind of talked about the movie, but you didn't really get a whole lot of what was going on.
Right, you didn't get the plot.
No. Trailers now, there is so much they throw in there, and they keep pumping out all these trailers and all these TV spots. I almost feel like I've watched Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
That's why I've been avoiding the trailers. And I want to go into it.
I feel like... They're in this age of information, it's double-edged for me. It's great because we have access to all these things, but at the same time, there are no more surprises.
Yeah.
All these leaked set photos, leaked set videos, leaked episodes, like the first five episodes of the new season of Game of Thrones. Nothing is secret anymore. Nothing is new.
That's why I got so upset about that Age of Ultron.
The Vision poster.
The Vision poster, and, you know, they started showing him in trailers and stuff. Because I was really hoping that would be, like, the one character that they didn't show. To be surprised about it, yeah.
Like, the other day, I'd been deliberately skipping it, is the Hulkbuster Hulk fight scene.
I still haven't watched it.
I haven't either. I've been doing really good not to, because I want to see it. I want to be surprised. I want to be awed. I was flipping through Facebook the other day, and it was an autoplay video.
I hate those so much.
And I zipped right through it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of it. I really am. You get these comedies that come out, and all the best jokes are in the trailer.
Yeah.
Or not even in the movie at all.
We have a really misleading trailer, like the SpongeBob movie.
That was
where,
so weird.
Yeah, it shows all the live-action CG stuff, and that's only the back 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Or there was a horror movie, it's a found footage film, called Quarantine. They literally show the ending of the movie in the trailer. I am not kidding.
That drives me nuts. In the trailer for Ant-Man, the one that just came out here the other day, they show the climactic end fight between Ant-Man and Yellowjacket in the trailer.
I haven't been watching the Ant-Man ones either because I want to go into that fresh.
It's unfortunately, I kind of sit and watch everything because, you know, I look for stuff to put up on the website, nerdoverload.com. Go check it out. but I kind of am in a position where I kind of have to watch it. But yeah, it's like, I know the plot to Ant-Man. I don't think I need to go. I mean, I will go see it because, you know, it looks awesome.
And it's a Marvel movie.
It's a Marvel movie, and I like Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but it's killing me.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was younger, just a handful of years ago, when a teaser trailer came out, it literally showed you nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember sitting in the theater when the very first Lord of the Rings teaser trailer came out for the Fellowship of the Ring. And all it was the ring spinning and then title.
I remember that.
That was it.
Yeah.
But now we have trailers for trailers coming out.
Yeah, we have the teaser for the teaser for the trailer for the 10-minute exclusive video of.
Yeah.
With a 24-hour countdown website.
Yeah.
That had a countdown website to the countdown website.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
too much.
It is. It really is. And I think it's ruining, honestly, in my mind, I think it's ruining cinema. It's ruining the magic of it.
I definitely don't get as excited. Now, this could be just because I'm a jaded old person, but I definitely don't get as excited for movies.
I really
as I
don't.
Used to.
Yeah, I really don't.
I'm surprised at how little I'm excited for Avengers. Like, I want to see it. Yeah. I'll see it, but I'm not, like, stoked about it anymore.
Well, I'm still stoked, but I feel like I've accidentally seen too much.
It's like you peeked at your Christmas present.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
It, like I said, it's going, when I'm going to sit there in the movie, I'm like, oh, I saw this scene. Oh, I saw this scene. Oh, I saw this scene. And it's going to be like that for most of the movie.
And now I'm more excited for the Star Wars trailer than I am for Avengers, which seems wrong.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's part of the thing why I like the Force Awakens trailer so much.
It was a good trailer.
It was a good trailer.
You get a bunch of shots, but you don't get any
you
kind
see
of
no. nothing,
which is kind of troubling. I really hope they don't ruin it.
It's like earlier today they released a full shot of what the stormtrooper actually looks like.
Yeah.
And what the villain Kalo
something. Oh, I haven't seen that
whatever.
Yet.
Yeah. He basically looks like Darth Revan from Knights of the Old Republic.
Cool. I don't have a problem with that.
I know, right? But it's essentially what he looks like. He's like Darth Revan. He's got like a weird crazy helmet face mask thing.
Weird crazy helmet face mask thing in a Star Wars movie?
Oh, what?
Who would have thought?
But he's got laser swords. It's amazing. I feel like the industry is tainted with all this buzz to try to put out. And it's the same thing with the comic industry,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah, you get a 3-page preview on Comics Alliance, and then why buy the book? Because you've already read half of it.
Exactly. Or the fact that they announced 6 months ahead of time that Deadpool was going to die last week. I want
there is a little bit of a difference between the two, though, I think, because because comics, they have to put out solicits at least 3 months in advance. You have to order comics 3 months in advance just to get your orders in. So they have to build up hype, you know, 6 months or 8 months or 10 months in advance for an event, just so that because the comics industry is dying.
Yeah.
Which goes into a topic
I wanted to talk about. Yeah, the comics industry is not doing as well as people
believe it to be.
Sales reports for March came out, and in the top 10 ranked comics, Marvel's Howard the Duck came in 7th place, which is really good. I mean, Howard the Duck is like a 3rd-tier character. I mean,
if that,
really interesting, and it beat out every one of DC's books.
To be fair, DC's books are not that great right now.
Princess Leia was number one, too, which is really cool.
Yeah, Princess Leia sold a ton, but that's because it was a number one issue, and there's a speculative market on a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
had a really great cover, too.
It was a really great cover. Yeah. The fact that it took me forever to even find one.
Yeah. But anyways, the whole point of it is, one, DC is having some real trouble, because you know what their number one comic was that behind Howard the Duck? It was the tie-in comic to Batman Arkham Knight.
The upcoming video game.
It wasn't even part of their main continuity.
Wow.
DC has a serious problem with their main continuity. I think that's why they're taking this chance to reboot their
Ever since the New 52, it's been a slow drag straight into the pit.
New 52 sold pretty well right out of the gate. Again, it's speculative
market. Yeah, out of the gate.
Yeah. Once upon a time, if a comic sold 200,000 copies, you know, that was pretty okay. I'm talking about, this is probably back in the 90s at the height. Today, and I'm talking about, this is worldwide. If a comic book sells between 50 to 70,000 issues worldwide, you have a bestseller.
That's a small number for worldwide.
Yeah, yeah. And it's because, part of it's because they're printing it on better paper. And that's driving the cost up printing cost is going up.
Oh yeah, Marvel books are like $4 to $6 a pop.
Yeah, that drives me nuts. But the problem, the thing that I really see, the problem with it that I have more than anything is I think that the industry is dying because they're not doing enough to cultivate the younger audience.
Yeah,
comics, because they're more of a niche audience, they tend to lean more towards their already established demographic. Which at this point, you know, when we were kids in the 90s, we were buying comics. We're now, what, 20, 30, 40 years old. The average comic buyer is between the ages of 25 and 45.
Yeah.
And it's actually men and women straight down the middle at this point. It's like 55% male.
Well, at least
45%
that's
female. So that's good at least. That's actually one good thing I found in my research. But kids aren't buying comics. And it's because comics are too violent a lot of the time. It's because they cost too much. It's because the speculator market is to the point where they only do a print run of, you know, next to nothing, and then they go back for variant covers and all this other stuff to try to drum up price.
Sales. Yeah.
So then you have to go to a specialized store.
Yeah,
to get them.
That's the thing. Yeah, I remember I used to be able to go to like Walmart and
Meijer.
Comic.
Oh
yeah,
Meijer had a comic rack for years.
Oh, I know. My mom would buy me comics like every shopping trip. I had a handful of X babies. I don't even know where they're at.
Oh man, I have the death of the Crimson Dynamo from Iron Man that I picked up at a Meijer here in town. Anyway, all of this is leading to kids not being into comics. And what's going to happen is when we get older or get to the point where either financial situation or we just get too old and decide, you know, we lose interest, we peter out.
We can't read the small
print. Or we can't read the small print anymore. Where we're not buying comics anymore. Our age group, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The next age group down, there's going to be no readers. It's going to get to the point where maybe a comic will sell 10,000 issues.
Yeah.
And at that point, it'll become such a niche market that the price is going to skyrocket because companies have to cover their overhead. So you'll be paying like $8, $9 for for 16 pages of comic with, you know, maybe 3 pages of plot. And it's going to kill the industry.
Yeah.
So that's why things like Free Comic Book Day are an amazing thing.
Which
is coming up really soon, here in a couple weeks. May 2nd, actually. It's why I'm not saying that Marvel and DC need to take all their books down to, you know, little kid baby levels. We don't need to go back to the 60s where, you know, Superman with a lion head is punching out, you know, the wacky 60s stuff.
Yeah.
But they need to do more to bring in young readers.
I do think that is.
Do more kids' books.
Yeah. Mm. And, you know, like I said in my article on the website.
Nerdoverload.com.
Yeah, Nerdoverload.com. Thank you. Thank you. Boom Studios, which is it's rapidly been kind of coming up as like a second tier. Like you have Marvel and DC as like your top.
And then you got like Dark Horse.
And actually, at this point, I'd actually put Image as a top.
Yeah.
Because between Walking Dead and Invincible and all their other creator-owned stuff, Images, I think, is right up there with Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, your Dark Horse, your Valiant, that stuff. And Boom Studios is there. And they actually have the print rights to almost all of Cartoon Network's shows.
Yeah, and some of those books are really good.
They're very good.
Like Marceline Adrift, the little spinoff from Adventure Time.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about.
You'd think that DC or Marvel would have been smart enough to get a deal with Cartoon Network.
You would think DC
or Disney
because, you
or
know,
Cartoon Network.
It's Warner,
yeah,
and so is Cartoon Network. But no, they don't. I mean, I think DC has Scooby Doo,
yeah,
and that's about it. And like Batman: Brave and the Bold, I don't even think they print that anymore.
Probably not.
And it was a Young Justice book too, wasn't there?
For a while, it's gone now.
Yeah, because Young Justice is gone, which
is
a shame.
Yeah, I understand.
That's another thing, shows like Young Justice, and that helps cultivate young comics fans, but they cancel those shows because they don't sell
toys.
Right. And, you know, I don't think the characters are going to go away. Do I think, like, Superman and Batman and things like that are going to go away? No.
The characters are bigger than ever.
The characters are bigger than ever. It's the print medium that's going to disappear. And I know this sounds like I'm like a old man panic because, you know, you're gonna have stuff on your iPad and stuff like that, you know. But
I hate reading comics on my phone.
I really do too. I really do. I just can't get into digital comics. But that's just because I'm weird and
I don't mind old. It.
Well, I'm the same thing with like ebooks and stuff. I like the physical feel. I like the textile feel. I like having that box of comics that's sitting in my living room.
Yeah.
I used to feel that way about books, but my mind changed after using a Kindle enough times.
But anyway, I just think companies need to do more to help to cultivate their younger audience, or the industry is going to go down. So on that happy, joyful note, I think we're going to go ahead and get out of here. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you again for tuning in.
Wait a minute, I have a plug.
You have a plug.
I am working on a point-and-click adventure game along the lines of like a Monkey Island and stuff, about an all-girl psychobilly horror band getting stuck in the woods.
Cool.
And, I have a dev blog for it that I want everybody to check out. It's frankieandthesteins.tumblr.com.
Very cool. Yeah, everyone go over to that. Again, go over to nerdoverload.com.
Yeah, definitely go there, too. We've been hitting that pretty hard.
Pretty regularly, yeah. Let's see. Go over to facebook.com/nerdoverloadwebsite. Someday I'm going to fix that. That drives me nuts. My OCD kicks real hard when I say that.
Can we get the website off there? Have we gotten enough likes to where we could change it? Or
it's not that we can't change it. We've been able to change it for a while. Someone else has Nerd Overload.
Oh.
Facebook.com/nerdoverload, yeah.
What? I'll bet we could get it with an email.
I bet we could, too. We should probably get on that. But that's for off the air.
Yeah.
On Twitter at nerd_overload.
You got it. And email address.
Oh, yeah. Steph@nerdoverload.com.
Send us anything. Your tips, what you want us to write about, your questions.
We cleaned out the email box so we can receive your emails.
Yeah, there was a bunch of them in there. I took them out the other day.
Yeah, I saw that. All right. So, again, thanks for listening. And we will be back next week at 9.
Thanks.
Oh, hey, Sam here. Sorry to cut in like this. Funny story. About 5 minutes after we all left the recording studio the other day, the first full trailer for the new Star Wars hit the internet. Everyone's been talking about it. If we had waited another couple of minutes, we would have talked about it. So we're not ignoring it. We'll cover it next week. Thanks a lot, guys.
This show has been brought to you by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and IDE Computers.